Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, the week is almost over. The Biden presidency is almost over. Mercifully, somebody make it stop. We'll play some of Biden's farewell address from last night. Talk about that in the world of make-believe in the open. Trump's out there really laying down the gauntlet on people he's hiring. Yes, there were more confirmation hearing stuff today. We probably have a huge spending issue. We have guests galore tonight, which I never do. Miranda Devine's coming. Brandon Darby's coming to talk about the border, which we're not hearing much about. Maybe Carol Roth. I'm not sure yet. We don't necessarily make plans here on the Jesse Kelly Show. All that, and plus, don't forget, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, which is always a good time. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get to the news, the Bidens, the hearings, all the other stuff, I wanted to read something for you. An encouragement, if you will. It's an email I got. Dear Jesse, I wanted to write and say that I am now a GOP precinct chairman for my area, and tonight I will vote to fill the vacant position of auditor for my county. This endeavor is all very new to me, so I will be on a steep learning curve on how all this works. The surprising thing was that a lot of positions in my area are vacant or have no competition. I honestly believe that the only reason the evil communists have taken over is because all the good people have gone home and said, I'm too busy to be bothered. I can't stand where our country is going now, so I'm getting involved. I might not be the most qualified, but I can't let them keep destroying our great nation. Thanks for all you do. Said I could use his name, and I most definitely will. His name is Michael. That's how you save a country. You get up, you get involved, and you send me these emails all the time now. Jesse, I've never been involved before. Jesse, I've just started to do this. Jesse, I'm getting involved here. I'm getting off the couch. We are starting to get it. We are starting to understand that you cannot live and let live your way out of communism. If you want to stop these animals from turning this country into ash, it's going to take getting involved. Getting involved does not count if you just vote for president every 4 years. That doesn't count at all. No, I got my Trump hat means nothing. That is not getting involved. Doing more than that is getting involved. And you are, and I'm freaking proud of you. I think it's awesome. I am so inspired. You inspire me to do more locally, and I'm trying to do as much as I can every single time you get up and get involved. You are the most qualified person. It's the losers and idiots who are in there now. Those are the ones who aren't qualified. You're the one who should be there. So go take power from a communist. All right? All right. Now, let's talk about Joe Biden. Thankfully, we're almost done with that. Think about that. How bittersweet that is. Chris, Corey, 4 years we've been having to suffer under this demented old communist, and it's just a few more days, and we won't ever hardly bring him up again. What, Chris? What? You're right. I'm going to miss the gaffes. You're right. Chris knows what a terrible person I am. And look, if we have to suffer the way we've suffered for 4 years under these morons tearing through the country. In the very least, we can make fun of them, right? That sounds like the Christian thing to do. In the very least, we can mock them. And the fact that Joe Biden has never been functional. It's not just at the end, right? We're seeing it all at the end. For 4 years, we had a president who was not a fully functional adult. And back when he was functional, you know, before his mind left him, Joe Biden sucked back then. He was a jerk back then. He was wrong on every issue back then. So we got a somehow more demented version than the original Joe Biden, who sucked anyway. And he's been president for 4 years. We've had to endure this nonsense. But I listened to his farewell address last night, so you didn't have to. And it was awful, of course. And he sounds awful. I'm telling you, mark it down. Joe's got a year or two after he leaves, and he's checking out. There's just no way. He's deteriorating so fast. And his wife did it to him, leaving him in the most stressful job in the world when he's going through what he's going through, when he should be resting and getting care. So she just burned him out. So he sounds awful. But beyond how bad he sounds, it is crazy how much of the modern Democrat platform, the communist platform, it's just all lies. Every single thing they say, everything, is not only a lie, most of it, they're verifiable lies. But they understand in order to keep power, they have to take advantage of all the stupid people in this country. Those are the people who vote Democrat. They understand that those are our most low IQ people, the people who can't think for themselves, the people who need a snorkel when they eat soup. That's the Democrat voter. And Democrats understand that. And so to keep that voter in the prison that is Democrat politics, Democrat policies, you must lie about everything at all times. It's just ingrained in them. The truth, you can't find
it. So much is at stake. Right now, the existential threat of climate change has never been clearer. Just look across the country, from California to North Carolina. That's why I signed the most significant climate and clean energy law ever.
California wasn't the result of climate change. Even lefties, many of them are acknowledging that. You left all the dead brush there. You emptied the reservoirs. You did everything you could possibly do to create a tinderbox. The tinderbox got lit by an illegal, allegedly. Person of interest in the Kenneth fire is an illegal immigrant with a long record. That's from Hot Air. So you had arsonists putting the place to the torch after you and your crazy anti-growth, dirty commie policies created an environment that allowed LA to burn, and then an illegal you let into the country lights the match, and you stand up in front of the United States of America and blame SUVs and cow farts. It's all you could do is laugh. Every single thing they say is a lie. Most of them verifiable.
I passed the most significant gun safety law in 30 years. And bringing violent crime to a 50-year low.
I wanted to bring up that really quickly. What he says here.
I passed the most significant gun safety law in 30 years. And bringing violent crime to a 50-year low.
Okay, we'll get to the 50-year low lie in a moment. Just remember that gun bill he passed? He passed it with John Cornyn. John Cornyn, the GOP senator from the state of Texas, is the reason Joe Biden passed a gun control bill. He not only worked on it, he whipped GOP votes for it. And John Cornyn has a primary next year in Texas. Will the GOP voter remember? We shall see. Now, back to the lies. Crime at a 50-year low.
I passed the most significant gun safety law in 30 years. And bringing violent crime to a 50-year low.
Of all the lies he told, and there are more, I'll play them. That one may be the most evil because the communists took over the FBI. they start, and it's more than just the FBI. Local agencies are doing this now as well in blue areas. They started cooking the books to act like violent crime was going down when everyone with eyes can see violent crime in blue areas is going up. So if violent crime is going up because of your policies where you don't jail criminals and you allow barbarians across your border, how do you deal with that if you're a communist? Well, it's quite simple. You simply lie. You get your people in positions of power in the law enforcement agencies. And whenever someone does commit a crime, you can label him white Hispanic or something like that. Remember when they did that? A white Hispanic. So everything is a lie. Everything is a world of make-believe. And we'll go do a couple more of those and we'll move on to other things. There were great hearing stuff today. Remember, we have Miranda Devine, Brandon Darby, jam-packed tonight. But first, I'm going to talk to you about something wonderful. It's called Peer Talk. I get sick to my stomach whenever I spend money on something. No, I'm not like Chris. I mean, when I spend money on something that goes to an evil company, and I've done it many times. I still do it every day. I try not to. I try to research these companies, but you can't do anything anymore without buying stuff. When we were on vacation, they lost our luggage and we were walking around and we walked into a Patagonia store. And I said, I can't spend money here. This is one of the most soulless evil companies out there. Had to walk out. It's hard. But Pure Talk makes it easy when it comes to your cell phone. You'll pay way less when you switch to Pure Talk. They support and share our values. Their CEO is a veteran. They hire Americans and you don't sacrifice service because they're on the same 5G network. Pure Talk is the no-brainer. There's no excuse to have AT&T, T-Mobile, or Verizon anymore. Pure Talk has handed us the patriotic alternative. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50%. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Joe Biden's farewell address was a big old pack of lies. We're playing a little bit of that, and then we'll get to some of these hearings from today. Scott Bessent said some good stuff, some bad stuff. We'll talk about the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Back to Joe Biden lying about everything.
Before I begin, let me speak to important news from earlier today. After 8 months of nonstop negotiation, By my administration, a ceasefire and a hostage deal has been reached by Israel and Hamas, the elements of which I laid out in great detail in May of this year. This plan was developed and negotiated by my team and will be largely implemented by the incoming administration. That's why I told my team to keep the incoming administration fully informed, because that's how it should be, working together as Americans.
Everyone knows Joe Biden didn't negotiate that deal. Donald Trump negotiated that deal. The State Department, I bet you this guy is going to get himself in some Democrat trouble. The State Department's own spokesman came out and broke with the narrative and admitted that Trump was a huge part of the whole thing, that Trump negotiated it. Why does this happen? To setting Israel Hamas, why does this happen? Why is this a normal thing? Jimmy Carter, obviously, everyone remembers Jimmy Carter with the hostages Iran had. Why couldn't Carter get it done? And then Ronald Reagan walks into the White House and immediately they're gone. Trump has said, you better let our hostages go. Why don't you ever get that from Democrats? Remember this. Democrats, they view America the way our enemies view America. If you're ever confused, I don't understand, why do they buddy up with Iran? Why do they do this? Well, they share a common bond with the enemies of this country. That bond is America isn't even that great. In fact, the country kind of sucks. They share that America hatred. And so you, me, when we hear there are hostages being held by Hamas, American hostages, you have patriotic fervor that rises in you, don't you? knowing that there are American citizens being held anywhere. They're being held in Russia as well. They're being held in various places across the world. When you hear that, you get angry. How could you do that to Americans? We're Americans. Democrats don't have that feeling. None of it. The only time they even pretend to care about the hostages is when it looks bad in the poll numbers. That's the God's honest truth. And that's what you vote for. And look, I love America and the American people. I can't stand our government, but I love the American people. I was telling this, it was when we got stuck in Europe for a couple of days when they lost their luggage and the flight got screwed up and whatnot. And so we're surrounded by all these foreigners, and we go to the elevator, and there's this older, I would say 60s, 70s black couple from Florida at the elevator, and we heard them talking to each other, perfect English, and immediately we're all, Americans? And they're like, yes, you too, and we hugged. We never even met before. We freaking hugged at the elevator. That's America. And Democrats don't feel that at all. That's why hostages never get released under them. Unless, of course, it's some WNBA lesbian. Then they'll bend over backwards to spring her from Russia. But anyone else? No. If you can't check some sort of a cultural Marxist box, well, you best get comfortable in prison and learn to like the food because you're staying there while Democrats continue in office. But back to the world of make-believe. The corporate press, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, The Washington Post, New York Times, for the longest time, they were the source of information for people. And them being the one-stop shop, the one place you could go to get information, was a huge, huge benefit to the communists in this country who have to build the world of lies, build the world of make-believe. Make sure your liberal Aunt Peggy believes the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. How do you ensure that? Well, you have to get all the corporate press full of your people, and they will lie without end. And that is why, as horrible as social media can be, that's why social media is so good for us and bad for the tyrants. And that's why they talk about it all the time, about how much they hate it. Because they used to be able to lie without any counter at all. And you, me, we had no way to seek out alternate information sources. Now we do. We use it. Now their lies have been exposed. And that's why career liars like Joe Biden hate it.
I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well. Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation. And they,
like the vaccine will stop the spread.
And the abuse of power. The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies told for power and for profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable to protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from the abuse of power.
Protect our children. Yeah, Joe Biden's all about the kids. Remember when he had a grandkid that Hunter Biden had with a stripper and they wouldn't acknowledge it until he got publicly shamed? They didn't even hang a stocking for that little girl. That's Joe Biden. He cares a lot about kids. I know you do, though. That's why you support preborn. That's why I support preborn. The pro-life organization, that they don't just talk about saving babies. Every day, 200 lives are saved by you through preborn. They're giving these young women who are about to abort their babies, they're giving them free ultrasounds. When a young mother gets that free ultrasound, she hears that heartbeat. She chooses life almost every time. Ultrasound is our ultimate weapon in the fight for life. $28 is what that ultrasound costs. You freaking deduct it in your taxes. You realize that? Give whatever you can. Preborn.com/Jesse. You can give them $1,000. I don't care. Give them $1,000,000. I don't care. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Did Miranda pick that song? That was freaking awesome and totally outside of the box. I dig it. Joining me now, author of, she's an incredible columnist, and she wrote a book about the Biden crime family that has more details in it than any other book I've ever read about how corrupt these freaking people are. The big guy, Miranda Devine, joins us now. Miranda, I have no doubt you caught some old Papa Joe's farewell address last night.
Hi, Jesse. Yes, I mean, for my sins, I had to sit through the whole thing, but I guess it was, you know, what we've come to expect from the almost gone president. It was just full of lies and self-delusion.
Miranda, how has he been able to get through these 4 years? Has it been Jill? You know more about these people than anyone. I mean, even if you're drugging him up for debate night, he still has so many responsibilities throughout the day. Who's been doing it?
Look, I think the problem people really have in grasping what went on with Joe Biden or is going on is that the cognitive issues he has are not really, they're not consistent throughout the day or throughout the week. And as someone close to him said, he has good days, he has bad days. Anyone who's ever been close to, you know, a family member with Alzheimer's or senility knows that it's progressive. And it has gotten worse over the 4 years. But he was, he had a problem back in, during the 2020 campaign. I remember being in Iowa and New Hampshire and watching him up on the campaign stage in January. And he was hopeless. He needed a teleprompter for the most basic stump speeches. Dr. Jill was leading him around. She certainly has been one to mask it and hide it. But he's just, the Democrat machine has just placed people around him that have covered up for the moments that he's incapable. And I guess he's had doctors drugging him up, or they've timed it, or they've given him sleep to make sure that they maximize his good days. He is an agent of his own misfortunes and the country's misfortunes. He's always been, someone who tells whopping lies, who is delusional about his own abilities, and who is deeply self-engrossed. And so we've seen that, and I think the American people have seen the real Joe Biden unfold over these 4 years. The mistakes that he's made, the catastrophic mistakes, like, for example, The first obvious one was the withdrawal from Afghanistan, which was such a debacle. That was all him, really. I mean, he had generals and General Milley and so on who didn't have good judgment themselves and really didn't try hard enough to talk him out of the decision to abandon Bagram Air Base, or the rush to get things done so that he would have something to brandish on the anniversary of 9/11. But that was his own fault. And then his lack of empathy afterwards, that was all him as well. So I'm not willing to excuse him and his calamitous presidency on his cognitive decline. I think he was compass enough times to be responsible.
Speaking with wonderful author Miranda Devine, she wrote the book The Big Guy. Highly recommend you pick it up. Miranda, you told me one time a story a lot of people don't know, and I want you to tell it again here, about Joe Biden, the car accident, and dressing up his young, very injured son in a hospital room for a swearing-in. What happened?
Yes, look, this was really the photograph that put Joe Biden on the map and propelled his career through the compassion of Americans, because Joe Biden did suffer a genuine tragedy just a few days after he won that first fluke Senate election at the age of 29 in Delaware. And he was off in Washington getting his office set up, and his young wife was driving the car with her two sons, Beau Biden and Hunter Biden, aged just 2 and 3 years old, in the back seat, and her baby daughter, and she was in a car accident, and she and the baby daughter were killed, and badly injured were Hunter and Beau. So they were in the hospital, and Joe Biden, instead of getting sworn in out in the corridor or out in the car park, he decided he would get sworn in and invite this horde of photographers and journalists into their small hospital room, where, of course, the center of attention was the boys, these poor, wan, motherless, bandaged boys in bed in the foreground as their father is getting sworn in with a podium hauled in and microphones, et cetera. And that photograph Joe Biden used in every campaign since, and it really was his sort of magic trick to win over Americans and become, you know, famous and sort of Teflon coated, because nobody could really be mean or criticize a widower who had suffered such a tragedy and was left with these two little boys. So I do think, though, that he was rather dishonest in the way he characterized his behavior, because he makes out that he was some sort of wonderful father at that point, but he did go off and take up this Senate job. I don't think there was any question that he would give that up. And he outsourced the parenting of his boys to his sister, Val, who you have to say was very selfless. She moved into his house with her then husband, and Hunter really credited her and said she was his real mother. And he didn't really get on at all with Jill Biden, who came on the scene several years later. And Joe Biden never really, and Hunter was angry about this, that his father never really credited or thanked Val enough. And Auntie Val, actually, her first marriage broke up probably because of that.
How about that? A little background. All right, real quick, I've only got about minute and a half left here. We've had all these hearings this week, Miranda, obviously more to come. What stood out to you, good, bad, ugly, from all this nonsense we've seen?
I think the main thing that stands out is the supreme high quality of all the candidates that that Donald Trump has nominated that have come before the Senate. They've all been cool, calm, collected, totally on top of their material, and have fielded some of the most ridiculous questions from Democrat senators who have really embarrassed themselves, some of them just awful. And they've just been superb. And Scott Bessent, we just saw this morning, that is the crucial portfolio for getting this country back on track. And he really gave a masterclass in the economy. He spoke so clearly about complex subjects. And you just know that this economy and our prosperity is going to be in good hands with him.
Miranda Devine, she wrote the book, The Big Guy. She has a wonderful accent. Miranda, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Jesse.
Chris, I think I'm coming around on Australia. I think I want to visit Australia. It looks, well, listen, I know everything can murder you over there. I keep hearing good things about the food. I realize it's gone full commie, but Australian people, like salt of the earth people, I don't think I've ever met one I didn't like. I like them all. What, Chris? What do I think kangaroo tastes like? It's got to be gamey, right? It's got to be gamey. Plus, they're like big rats over there. And anyway, Chris, we call them a wallaby. What? That's how they say it over there. You know, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com, or you'll die. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about this Bessent hearing next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. It's just tough to beat Phil Collins. Don't forget, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours on Friday dedicated to you. Ask me anything. Absolutely anything. Let's tear through a few emails to clear out some space, shall we? Jay Steele, about 2.5 years back, you read a question I asked you. At what point will your eldest son be able to turn the tables on you as you guys scrap? If I recall correctly, you said probably 15 or 16. You mentioned a few weeks ago he is now driving, so I'd like an update. Given the fact he's a runner and obviously has the edge and stamina, I have to guess whatever you do to him would need to be in the first 3 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, I can still take him. But I have to get a lot dirtier now than I used to because he's gotten freaking strong. And he'll drop a shot on me that's brutal. But, you know, age and experience is worth a lot. You know, he doesn't know. He knows he's getting stronger. And he's starting to bow up on me when we're trying to wrestle a little bit more. But the second I start losing or think, well, I can't quite move him the way I want to, boom, I'll nail him with the Charlie horse, drop a knee right in the side of his thigh or something like that, or I'll get a pressure point, you know, that one behind your ear. I get that one behind his ear all the time. Or I'll take my knuckles. I have really sharp knuckles. It's really helped me a lot in life when I get in fights and things like that. My knuckles are super sharp, and I'll pop him one in the arm and make his arm go super numb. So I've still got him because I'm willing to do dirty things he's simply not willing to do, which I got from my old man. My old man and I used to go, whenever he was home, we'd play one-on-one basketball. And it was just the most bruising thing in the history of mankind. He's not going to let you win. And if you do win, you're going to bleed for it. You're going to bleed for it. You are going to pay for it. I'll put it that way. Back to some hearing stuff today. Well, I guess maybe we'll give Joe Biden one more parting shot because this is pretty rich.
I warn the country of some things that give me great concern. This is a dangerous concentration, and that's a dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people. The dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked.
This is one of the great lies Democrats tell their voters, and one of the great lies Democrat voters still believe. That Democrats are somehow the party of the poor or the working man. Democrats are the party of the uber wealthy. Ever since the government in this country joined forces with the largest corporations in the country, it's not an accident corporations have gone hard left, and it's not an accident the federal government always manages to come up with some policy, some regulation, some law of some kind that smashes small business, smaller banks, credit unions. Remember, we lost during COVID, a third of the small businesses in this country were lost.
because of these ridiculous policies. A third of them lost. Of course, Walmart got to stay open. But your small mom and pop shop? No. You had to close up your doors. After all, 15 days to slow the spread. You remember all that garbage. They are the party of the billionaire now. That's what they are. They're still trying to live off that old image of, oh, the working people, the poor. And I'm not here to tell you Republicans are wonderful on that. I'm really not. But man, what a freaking lie that Democrats don't like uber wealthy people. And I thought Scott Bessent, which I'm going to get to some of his stuff from the hearing now, I thought him whipping Bernie Sanders on this exact same issue was pretty well done.
What Biden said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy. I'm asking you that question. Do you think, forget how they made their money, do you think that when so few people have so much wealth and so much economic and political power, that that is an oligarchic form of society?
Well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people who I think would qualify for his oligarchs.
Mm-mm. Of course, you know how this works. If you're a billionaire donor that props up Democrats, you're, of course, one of the good guys just trying to give back. If you happen to support Republicans, then you're an oligarch, you're evil, you're whatnot. But the real evil is government joining forces with business. That is not free markets. That's gangster capitalism. When governments and big businesses join together so that you have these huge, oftentimes trillion-dollar government contracts or close to it, heading to a private company, a private corporation. And, of course, the government will attach strings to all of that. Well, yes, we're going to give you guys the $100 billion contract, but you have to make sure you hire enough gays to do that. And soon you have a corporate government partnership that works against not just small businesses, works against the American people themselves. And this actually, a lot of this comes back to, you see evidence of this when it comes to immigration, legal and illegal. That's what they do, you realize, so often. You know about illegal immigration, but when they want it legal, these big businesses with big government contracts who donate big amounts of money to Democrats, they simply go to the government and say, hey, we've got 1,000 employees, and they're costing quite a bit of money. We could save a fortune if you would, maybe 500 H-1 visas. We'll go snatch some people up from India, be making even more money. And hey, that'll leave more money to donate to your presidential campaign, Mr. President. What do you say? How about those visas? What do you say? That's what's happening across this country. And it's actually not just Democrats either. Republicans, big government Republicans, joining forces with big government corporations has created a gangster capitalism system in this country that is not free markets. It's not how it was supposed to be. Getting government out of the business of business is crucially important. Now, I'm going to talk to you about something. The Obliterator. My blender has a name, The Obliterator by Chefman. You see, it blends every freaking thing. And I mean everything. And it is used daily in my house, oftentimes double, because Ob will make those disgusting smoothies in the morning, but The Obliterator makes them so creamy you can actually just gut the thing down because you definitely don't want to taste it. Thank you, Obliterator, for that. But she'll come up with a soup in there. She'll crush up ice in there if she's doing something. This thing takes a beating, and it looks good. It won an award, the Red Dot Best Concept Design. The Obliterator from Chefman, and you can get it anywhere. You can go to chefman.com, C-H-E-F-M-A-N. You can go to the nearest Walmart and pick it up. These things are going like hotcakes right now. The Obliterator, highly recommend it. Go get one. Chefman.com. Now, Bessent, Treasury Secretary, in case you're wondering who Scott Bessent is, he's the incoming Treasury Secretary. He said a lot of things today. Some good, most good, some not so good. We'll talk about that next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.